Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Branson, Missouri. It's a beautiful spring day and we've got the window wide open, the door wide open. You might hear the birds, and I hope you do. I hope God sends a bird right by here just to chirp for you to hear what I get to hear. And he put the voices in the branches. Psalm 104. I've been talking about we're launching a first of all campaign. And this is biblical. It comes from the scripture, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Did you know that we've never obeyed this word like we should? If we should have, the United States would not be in the mess it's in, nor would any place. If the church in a certain country, in a certain city, takes their authority, prays first of all, like this scripture tells us, then we wouldn't have the problems that we do. So we've got to make a U-turn. We've got to repent. That's what repent means. It means turn around from the direction you're going. So we're launching a first of all campaign. We're asking people to commit, to sign up, to call us and say, put me on the list. I'm going to pray first of all for our leaders, for this nation. Of course, after you've praised the Lord in your prayers. I really truly believe. Now, God put us on a prayer assignment back in 2008. That was an election year. And I believe that prayer assignment, it was to pray in an awakening. And I believe in our recent election, the church was awakened. The church has to awaken first of all in any awakening. And I believe they were awakened, whether it not the went the way you wanted to or not, the church voted more than they have ever voted. The percentage of the voters in the church was the highest in the body of Christ. Now, here's how we started on praying for an awakening. It started on Sunday, June 29th, 2008, at our 3 p.m. corporate prayer meeting on Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We have that every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Every Wednesday at noon, we have corporate prayer, which we stream live. But the prayer meeting on Sunday, we don't stream it. On June 29, 2008, 40 or more faithful prayers were praying about the then upcoming American elections. In November, about Israel and the nations, we were praying. Especially united, we seemed to pray as one man. And we reached a place that was high and somewhat unfamiliar. Then, as in Acts 13:2, the Holy Spirit said, "The spirit of prophecy fell powerfully upon me, and in a strong voice, an utterance poured past my lips." Now, I'm telling you, this has only happened about twice at that time in my life. Once was in 1979 with some Finnish people about our going into Russia. A mantle fell on me. And then this other time was 2008 out at Prayer Mountain. Here's the word that came powerfully. One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. We were silenced in our petitions, even rebuked. It was so quiet in there. Our hearts listened for more. More words came. And at the same time, spirit-inspired thoughts sped through my mind. Here they are. The best person in the world could be elected president, and it wouldn't help if America did not awaken to God. America's history, the Great Awakening, prayer, study, these things were emphasized. The importance of prayer in an awakening. The call to help, even to assemble prayers. To pray for an awakening. And so we did it. We did it at the Autumn Assembly. We did it in meetings wherever we went. And then God raised up other people in other organizations, and they began to pray for an awakening. And all across this country, you began to hear the word awakening, awakening. I did exactly what the Lord told me to do. I began to study about awakenings. And we went not long after that to Ireland, Northern Ireland, where at that time Pastor Paul and Karen Brady were in Ballymena with their church. And the Bradys put a book in my room entitled Ireland's Lost Heritage. It was an account of what is known as the Ulster Awakening in 1859, was covered in the book. I didn't know that there had been an Ulster Awakening, but I found out. I got the book Revival Fire by Wesley Duell, and he records how the Ulster Northern Ireland Awakening coincided with the Great Awakening America had in 1857 and 59. In Ireland's Lost Heritage, that book, I found this. It's an explanation of what an awakening is. And the writer writes, a cause could be made for saying that a revival could be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people. But an awakening is a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. Revivals alter the lives of individuals. Awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture. That's exactly what happened in the first Great Awakening. The Great Awakening preceding the birth of the United States of America. I have now read many secular accounts from the academic world about the Great Awakening, and it is a consensus among the academians that America was born out of the Great Awakening. One Harvard professor wrote that one cannot understand the colonial society that brought about the American Revolution without a study of the Great Awakening. The Longmeadow, Massachusetts Historical Society website carries an article entitled The Great Awakening and Its Effect on the Society and Religion of the Connecticut River Valley by Megan McCormick. The article states, The Great Awakening was a religious movement during the 1730s and 1740s, in which itinerant ministers presented powerful messages of salvation, which provided early Americans with a greater sense of nationality. One of the most notable points of origin was in the Connecticut River Valley under the leadership of Jonathan Edwards. The Great Awakening brought about a change of values that affected politics and daily life. Those attitudes were the beginnings of a sense of independence and equality that would set the stage for the American Revolution. And as the spirit of independence was proclaimed in the colonies by the Declaration of Independence, it was often the local clergy who rose to read to their congregations the words of that document which would spark independence in America. I studied then about this word, awakening, and where it came from. And it was given in online at answers.com. The origin of the word awakening came in 1736. In the winter of 1734-35, the mild-mannered Reverend Jonathan Edwards, minister of the church in Northampton, Massachusetts, was astounded. People actually were listening to his sermons and following his advice. Their talk turned to nothing but religion, and they began living godly lives. Even, quote, the vainest and loosest, even young people. And this behavior was spreading from Northampton to other towns up and down the Connecticut River Valley. In a famous letter published in 1736, Edwards called this a general awakening. So it was Reverend Jonathan Edwards who called it the awakening, and it came to be known as the Great Awakening. Edwards kept a accurate records of what happened. He wrote in his diary, "And then it was in the latter part of December that the Spirit of God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. There were very suddenly, one after another, five or six persons who were to all appearance savingly converted, and some of them wrought upon in a very remarkable manner. Particularly, I was surprised with a young woman who had been one of the greatest company keepers in the whole town." You can imagine what that means. But there was sin abroad. The Puritans and the Pilgrims, the people had separated. They had moved apart from each other. They had, and they were not that same Puritan feeling about them. So this place had fallen into sin. And Jonathan Edwards, they said, that his voice was a monotone. And he read his sermons, so he was shocked when people started listening to them. "When this woman came," Jonathan Edwards writes, "I had never heard that she was become in any way serious, but by the conversation I then had with her, it appeared to me that what she gave an account of was a glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace, and that God had given her a new heart, truly broken and sanctified. God made it, I suppose, the greatest occasion of awakening to others of anything that ever came to pass in the town. The news of it seemed to be almost like a flash of lightning upon the hearts of young people all over the town and upon many others. Presently upon this, a great and earnest concern about the great things of religion and the eternal world became universal in all parts of the town and among persons of all degrees and all ages, those that were wont to be the vainest and loosest, and the work of conversion was carried out in a most astonishing manner. Souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. This work of God soon made a glorious alteration in the town, so that in the spring and summer following the year 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God." Eddie Hyatt, a historian, writes, "People from other communities often scoffed when they heard of the great events in Northampton." And I don't have time to read all what he told about it, but they would come to the town as unbelievers and scoffers, and they would go back, converted themselves, and go back to their towns, and their towns would be coming on fire in this great awakening. Now, I'm reading to you out of my book, Letters to Partners, because I did what God said. I studied the Great Awakening, and I found that this United States of America was born out of this first Great Awakening, and the scholars all agree that it was. There's much about that awakening. Tomorrow we're going to talk about George Whitefield. All of these things that I'm reading to you right now are in my book, Letters to Partners in the Service of the Lord by Billy Brim. These letters are a three-year period when I was seeing so much about the Great Awakening. And other things are in there as well. You can get this book from us for only $5 plus shipping. Just phone 1-800-972-3447 and ask for Billy Brim's book, Letters to Partners. Or you can write us, billybrim.org, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or even go online to billybrim.org. That's $5 plus shipping. Oh, if you can, please join us on the mall August 20th when this great group, we believe we'll have a great group by then, First of all prayers, first of all, we're going to commit. Call us if you can commit to praying first of all for our leaders. 1-800-972-3447. Shalom, shalom.